Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is the Adam Carriker Show on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show. I'm going to bring out my special guest here in just a minute, Mr. Garth Glissman. But real quick, this segment of the Adam Carriker Show is brought to you by our good friends at Mulberry Barbecue at 11th and Cornhusker, open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Try their burnt end sandwich, a brisket burrito, barbecue nachos, a full slab of ribs, a half-smoked chicken, and much more. Plus, incredible sides. Get fueled for lunch today or make dinner plans at Mulberry Barbecue by Single Barrel, located at 11th and Cornhusker. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but barbecue is easily one of my favorite foods, and nobody does it better than Mulberry Barbecue. All right, I want to bring on my special guest, a man who I crossed paths with at the University of Nebraska, former Nebraska teammate on the football team, a quarterback. He also was on the Nebraska basketball team. All right. He joined the National Basketball Association in 2016, has been vice president of basketball operations since 2021. He was recently named the Southeastern Conference Associate Commissioner for Men's Basketball before joining the NBA. He was a partner with Omaha law firm, Kutik and Rock. I hope I said that right. Garth can feel free to correct me if I did not. But Mr. Garth Glissman, how you doing, my friend?
Adam, thanks for having me on. We go back a ways, man, almost 20 years.
We do, dude. I remember trying to get you, but you had the green jersey on, so I couldn't touch you in the scrimmages. I remember that. I remember you were on the basketball team for a little bit. And ever since we both left, every time I turn around, like, you're doing big things. So I actually want to start with a lot to talk about, from NBA to SEC to things of that nature, the things you're involved with. But being a partner at a law firm, what's that like, and how did that come about?
Well, I didn't have the athletic career that you did, Adam. I wanted to be a first-round NFL draft pick, but I never got any higher than third string on the depth chart. So, you went off. You were a first-round NFL draft pick, and I went off to law school at the University of Nebraska, and then went to go work for a law firm in Omaha. I didn't grow up in a family of attorneys, so I interviewed for one law firm. They offered me a job. And I took the job, and I stayed with them until it was time to go off to the NBA.
All right. How did the connection with the NBA come about? And what was it like? What's it been like working with the NBA with what you're doing there?
Well, the NBA joked with me when I first started interviewing with them that they didn't typically hire people from Nebraska. So they put me through the ringer of a 6-month interview process, but then, they finally decided I guess I was worth a shot. But the reason the NBA reached out to me is, so when I was in law school, in my first 2 years of law school, I did a lot of sports radio, local sports radio. So I've got a heart for what you're doing right now, Adam.
Okay.
And I did a lot of high school football and basketball games. Almost every Friday night, and then during basketball season, Friday and Saturday, I was the color guy for Chris Schmidt, and we did local high school football and basketball games. And one of the local high schools in Lincoln heard me broadcasting basketball games and asked me to be the head basketball coach at their school for my last year of law school. And that was College View Academy in Lincoln. And so I decided I would do that for my last year of law school. I was living in Lincoln. The law firm that I already accepted a job with was located in downtown Omaha. So I didn't really think that I'd be able to continue coaching beyond law school, but I fell in love with coaching. I fell in love with the impact you could have on young men through sport. And so I moved to Omaha, but continued to coach in Lincoln. I ended up coaching for a total of 8 years while I was in law school. And then 7 of those years, I was practicing law, 4 years at College View Academy, 4 years at Parkview Christian School, both in Lincoln. So I lived and worked in downtown Omaha, would drive to Lincoln every day for practice. And over time, I started to do a little bit of sports related work in my legal practice. Not much, but enough that it was in my LinkedIn profile and on my firm bio, and proof that those key words are important. That somehow tripped a wire at the NBA, and they reached out to me over LinkedIn. They were looking for someone who had a combination of both legal experience and practical basketball experience. And like I said, somehow I tripped a wire at the offices in New York. They didn't typically hire from Nebraska, as they told me at the outset, but after a 6-month interview process, they offered me the job. I took it, moved to New York City in May of 2016, got married a few months later. My wife, who's an Omaha native, moved out to New York to join me. So here I was, a Nebraska native, married to a Nebraska girl, and we were living in Manhattan. And it was a great life until the pandemic. And then the pandemic hit and everything changed. At the NBA, we were remote for about 2 full years. That allowed me to actually get back to Nebraska. So for almost 2 years, I was working seemingly all the time for the NBA, but we were working remotely, and I did so from Omaha. So that's how I got to the NBA. Proof that LinkedIn and technology, they can be fascinating resources. So if there's any young people out there listening, LinkedIn's like a resume that the whole world has access to. And for me, it was life-changing.
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
That's actually good to know. It's very interesting. To be more specific, it says that you are from Lincoln. You went to Waverly. So going from, I've been to Waverly, I've been to New York. Let's just say the culture shock must have been quite interesting, because it's a very, 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 very different world in New York City. I don't mean that in a bad way or a good way. It just is what it is. So that had to be a bit of a culture shock for you. But I'm kind of curious what you're doing now with the SEC, how that role came about, and how your time at the SEC is currently going.
Well, I consider Lincoln to be my hometown, but just back to your earlier comment, I actually grew up on a small farm. Mm-hmm. So you want to talk about culture shocks, not just Lincoln to New York City, but small farm to New York City.
Yep.
But, you know, one of the things that I've learned, whether I've been in, you know, growing up in Nebraska, living in New York City, or now working for the SEC in Birmingham, is if you treat people well, work hard, you've got a chance. And so I've always, I think that's one of the things I always admired about you, Adam. You were a highly touted recruit. I was a, you know, walk-on who was lucky to make the travel roster, but I think you and I bonded because you're a good person. You treat people well. I've always tried to do the same myself. And so I've tried to take that mentality that allows you to make friends with and connect with the locker room of young men from people all over the world. And I use that, whether I was at the NBA or the SEC. In terms of what I'm doing now at the SEC, I was hired first and foremost to oversee SEC men's basketball. And the charge, in my view, is really simple. I'm trying to help take SEC men's basketball to the same level as SEC football. And we're making some progress in that regard. 9 teams ranked in the preseason top 25. We had 8 SEC teams make the NCAA tournament last year. Of course, we had Texas and Oklahoma this year. Texas was a tournament team last year, so you add them to the mix. 9 of our current 16 teams are coming off an NCAA tournament berth. So that was my primary focus. But one of the responsibilities that I had at the NBA, at the league office, was overseeing the NBA's injury reporting policy. And my boss at the SEC, Commissioner Greg Sankey, was aware of that. And given all of the risks associated with sports betting, shortly after I started at the SEC, he asked me to design a system similar to the injury reporting system that I oversaw at the NBA. And so after about 8 or 9 months of work with SEC athletic directors and other administrators and coaches at all SEC campuses, this past fall, we rolled out the SEC student athlete availability reporting policy, which is akin to injury reporting in pro sports with some differences. And so that's allowed me to have some involvement in multiple SEC sports, which has been exciting because the policy, like I said, it's intended to guard against the risks associated with sports betting, particularly the pervasive demand for inside information. If some rogue actor affiliated with the sports betting space can get inside information about whether a player is going to play or not or injured or not, that could have value to someone in the sports betting space. So we think the transparency is the best way to address that. So we have a policy in place for football, men's and women's basketball, and we're also going to implement it for baseball as well. The policy started in football this fall. And so for every SEC football game, we issue the first availability report of the week on Wednesday night. We then issue daily updates on Thursday and Friday night and a game day update 90 minutes before the game. There are some other conferences that have availability reporting policies, but our policy is robust. It's NFL-like in the sense that there's multiple reports leading up to game day. And so it's the first of its kind in college athletics. And it's been a lot of fun to be a part of designing that policy. And it's also, as I mentioned, given me exposure to an array of SEC sports on both the men's and women's side. I happen to know a little bit about football. I know very little about baseball, but it's been fun. You know, that's one of the beauties of college sports is the breadth of the sports offerings. And so I've had fun interacting with football coaches and baseball coaches. And then, of course, I feel right at home with basketball coaches.
All right. What was, if you have a favorite memory, or what are some of your favorite memories from your time at the University of Nebraska, whether it be on the basketball team for a season or the football team, what sticks out to you?
Well, you joked about me being in a green jersey. And the reason that you didn't get to hit me, Adam, is you were just a few years too late because, you know, you're a couple years younger than me. And so when I started at Nebraska in the Coach Solich era, quarterbacks were fair game.
Yes, they were. I remember that. Yep.
Starter.
Yep.
Like you weren't hitting Eric Crouch in practice, and then Jamal was the starter. So like Jamal wasn't getting hit in practice. But for my first 3 years on the team, quarterbacks were mostly fair game. As I didn't work my way too far up on the depth chart under Coach Solich, but I was third string my whole junior year, and so I made the travel roster, and so they would put me in a green jersey a little bit. But it wasn't until Coach Callahan came that, you know, it was more of an NFL model and that the quarterbacks were off limits all the time. That actually was hard for me because I in hindsight, I think that I was thinking more and just instinctively playing less. You know, you always hear about quarterbacks or football players. It's like that first hit kind of helps you shake some of the nerves off, and then the rest of the game can be instinctive. So I actually like the physicality of practices. I think that helped me settle in and be more instinctive. So I would have much preferred not having a green jersey, even though I wouldn't have liked to get hit by you. But all things considered, I much preferred the physicality of the game. You know, I look at someone like you, Adam. You had such a distinguished career. You think of all the people that have come through the University of Nebraska and played at a really high level over the years, but then you shrink it down to the number who were first-round draft picks. So you're in a very unique category. I only played in a handful of games over the course of my 4 years. When I got into games, it was mop-up duty. I never attempted a pass. I was always handing the ball off. Coach Solis almost let me attempt a pass the first time I played in the game, but we were up so big. You know, he's a classy guy, so he felt like that would be a bad look. So my memories are very different than the memories that you would have created at Nebraska or in the NFL. So for me, a lot of the memories were just being a part of the team, walking through the tunnel, being a part of the game day experience in the stadium where I had grown up selling concessions just to get inside. As far as the highlight of my playing career, there was one spring, the spring of 2003, which was probably the peak of my time, very modest career, where I actually got a start in the red-white game. And so I was the starting quarterback for the white team in the 2003 red-white game. And in hindsight, that was probably the top of the mountain for me in terms of my athletic career. Never got any better.
Yeah, I actually remember that. And I remember that because 2003 would have been my redshirt freshman year. And that was when I finally started to feel a little bit comfortable. I came from halfway across the country. So there was a little bit of an acclimation process for me just from moving halfway across the country. There's a picture of me awkwardly jumping over an attempted chop block by, I think it's a running back. I forget who it was. We didn't have names on the back of the jerseys for Red White Spring game. But they're trying to chop block me. I'm awkwardly trying to jump over, but you're the quarterback in the picture. And so every once in a while, we'll be going through pictures from yesteryear, and that picture will pop up. So I actually have a picture from that day, and I actually kind of remember that day pretty well. But hey, man, you're doing big things.
That makes me feel good, Adam. And you know why I say that? Because I got a chance to play against you that day. That in that same game, we had a little bootleg around the goal line. And it was a called pass play, but I was trying to kind of find somebody open in the end zone, made a late decision to run, and was running, too timidly in hindsight. Stuart Bradley hits me, knocks my helmet off, and the front page of the Omaha World Herald the next day was a picture of Stuart Bradley hitting me, knocking my helmet off. And I mentioned Stu because both you and Stu went on to have NFL careers. So for guys like me who didn't make it, to think that in practices or a spring game, we got a chance to compete with guys who went on to be pros, that's pretty cool.
Well, man, it's pretty awesome because you're doing big things, from being a partner at a law firm to the freaking NBA to the SEC and trying to do big things with SEC basketball. So I appreciate you taking the time. And as always, let's keep in contact, my friend.
Thanks for having me on, Adam.
All right, take care. Don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. We'll be giving predictions to the biggest college football games this weekend: Tennessee, Bama, Texas, Georgia. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.